And we are live, folks. I think about a minute later than we put out on the schedule and about 4 minutes earlier than the start time in the countdown on the video, but it is what it is. It is about 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, anyway, and it is December the 1st, 2025. So with that said, it's the first day of December. It's Christmas time, and Spirico Claus is here. Yep, we've had the beard experiment this year. I've had a good time doing it. I'll have a good time for the rest of the month playing around with it. But I promise you, when you see me come back in January, we'll be back to lean and mean, trimmed Jack Spirico. But this has been a fun little experiment. I started it in July. Looking at the beard now, I would say that June probably would have been better to get where I wanted to get to, but it's been fun. What are we going to talk about today, though? A lot of times on Monday, we do like a news day, current events and things like that. I know a lot of you guys really like that, but we also do something every month. The first Tuesday of the month, we do a chat, coffee chat, we call it, with Nicole Sauce and John Willis. And we usually cover a lot of that stuff. So with that in mind, I decided that maybe this Monday, it wouldn't be a good idea to go into all the media bullshit that's gone on over the week. It's also been a somewhat slow media week, other than the unfortunate incident with the National Guardsmen that were shot in D.C. One of them passed, and, you know, keep your thoughts and prayers with their families. It's a terrible situation. But, I mean, other than that, and there's not a lot of data really to talk about with that. And I don't think it really benefits anybody in this audience to spend a lot of time on it. So I'm sure we'll hit on it some tomorrow and some other things that have been going on tomorrow with John and Nicole. So I decided let's do an old school podcast today, something like I started out with. And when I started this show, the reason I chose the niche of preparedness as kind of the headliner for it with the survival podcast was because it let you talk about anything that actually directly affects the lives of people and their future. So that way I could talk about preparedness. Yeah, we could talk about storing food and storing water and guns and ammo and all that other stuff and having, you know, training and being able to provide medical care and dealing with anything from a, you know, a 1 day power outage to a week long or longer power outage. And since we started the show, I've had people in this audience go through as long as 20 days without power. Since this started, the longest I went without power is 8 days. So that happens. We don't need an apocalypse for that. So it's always fit in, but there's more to it than that. And being able to make good decisions with logic and reason is one of the most important modern survival skills that you can have. I put a lot of effort and work into that over the years in teaching it. And, you know, we were talking about how we're not talking about current events today, but when you're examining that, boy, you need this process more than any other place else, because if there's a place where they use the lack of thinking against people, it's in the news and social media and political tribalism and all that. And the funny thing is, when you apply a simple process to all of this, it gets really easy to discern reality from non-reality, at least 99% of the time. And I would say that most of the time, the average person is discerning reality from propaganda, maybe 1% of the time. And what I want to kind of lead off with today as we kind of a primer before we recognize our sponsors today and then dig into the meat of it is just what are the reasons. Why does an old man need to get on a podcast he's been doing for 17 years and talk about this subject with the average person? Well, there's two key things that contribute to the fact that the average person can't actually think for themselves and just swallows whatever they're handed. And the first one is the state-based education system. And boy, do I have a banger of a video for you when we get into it today. It was funny. I got up really early this morning. Maybe I'll say a little bit more about that, and got a lot of work done on my new book and looked at the time and said, shit, it's almost 9 o'clock and you haven't even started getting the show ready for today. So I started getting the show ready, got it all ready. About 10 o'clock, I came into my office here and started going through the long weekend emails. There's like 500 of them. And there's an email from somebody of a little like 1 minute video on Facebook. And my God, does it hit today perfectly. So, and it talks about the school system, and it's spot on. But the reality is children are taught to learn a thing, repeat a thing, and defend a thing, but never to determine a thing. Like, the only thing kids actually determine is the pre-designed answer to, let's say, an algebra problem. Everything else in our school system is predicated on, I tell you, by either telling you verbally, writing it on a board, or telling you to read a book, the way things are, and then I test your ability to regurgitate that information. There's almost nothing in our school system that leads a student to a journey of discovery. Almost nothing. The closest thing would probably be like reports, when they say, do a report on anything you want. But because the way everything else is run, a kid never actually sees that opportunity, really. I was never presented to me as an opportunity of discovery. It was just like, here's a requirement. So the state-based education system is a big part of it. And college has become a big part of it as well. I'll save some thoughts on that for later in the show. But I would also say that as bad as college always has been, and I'd say in the last, since World War II anyway, the last 70 years, it's a lot worse today than it was when I was of age to go to school. We have now so commoditized the college education system, so made it everybody needs to go, so lowered the standards of admission, so made money that will indebt you for the rest of your life so available to so many people, that we have, by necessity, had to lower the standard of the college education of itself. Just because if you let everybody in, your common denominator is going to go down. When I was in school in the 80s, I'm talking high school here, if you wanted to get into a school beyond a community college or something like that, it was competitive. Now, it wasn't Harvard or Yale competitive, but even a school like Bloomberg, which none of you have ever heard of in Pennsylvania, which was a public institution, was pretty damn competitive. If you didn't have like a 3.5 or higher GPA, you probably weren't going to get in. And if you had like a 2.9, you definitely were not getting in. You better have good SAT scores to go along with it. Today, I mean, there's so many schools and so many options and so many seats and so much expansion and so much money sucking that they'll let anybody in, literally. In fact, I've seen college applications where the lower your class rank is, the lower the requirement for your SATs is, which is really sad. And what that has done is it's made college for, I'd say, at least half of the people that are going, just basically a very expensive extension of high school, where instead of being challenged in growing up, they just go through it like they're going through high school so they can graduate and then get a big speech and then go find the great job they were promised, which is for most of them never coming. Then the other side of this is the industry and media. Marketing itself, when you market something, as I've said, I believe in definitive definitions. You should be able to do it in 3 words if you understand what you're defining, is telling a story. That's all marketing is. It's telling a story. But modern marketing has become the epitome of dichotomy. Everything is boiled down to an A versus B choice. And that isn't just done in marketing and advertising of products. It's done in marketing and advertising of ideas. If you're not with us, you're against us. Right? If you don't believe everything we say, you're a fascist. Or if you don't believe everything we say, you're a communist. That dichotomy is nonsense. We're going to dig into that deeply today as well. But now it's in everything from direct marketing, online marketing, cinema, TV shows, you name it. Everything is boiled down to a dichotomy as though there's never a second choice. Again, we're going to dig deep into dichotomies today. We're in a very dangerous time in history. It's hard to know what to believe and what not to believe. I think the first time I ever did this subject one way or another is probably about 2009, 2008 even maybe when the show started. And it was always the case that it was hard to know the truth from bullshit. But today, even a person with an IQ of like 80 can create very convincing AI-enhanced photos and videos and things like that. And that's only getting easier. And the people who are really, really good at it, running like their own models and all, they can do things that are almost undetectable today. And here's the thing about detecting fake, detecting AI, detecting bullshit, detecting things as propaganda. It's very difficult for people who want to believe what they're looking at to realize it's fake. It's funny. You're going to find it as you start seeing more and more AI fake shit come out. the things that you absolutely do not want to be true that are fake, you're going to spot them like that. The things that are, you know, on your side, whatever that means, you're going to have a hard time accepting that they're fake, let alone detecting them. Anyway, before we dig into all this, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor of the day, number one today, is USABurkeyFilters.com. That's Jeff the Berkey Guy Gleason. This guy has been a sponsor of this show since 2010. He's been around a very long time. Really good dude. I've met him in person quite a few times. Great customer service. Outstanding product. Water is one of the most important things in the world to our survival. We can't go very long without water. The official number is 3 days, and that can be a little short or a little long depending on the situation. You ain't going 3 days if it's hot as hell and you're working. I've seen people that drank plenty of water in the morning pass out in the middle of the afternoon from dehydration in certain situations. So it is not even a 3 day thing. And you want to be drinking good quality water no matter what. Seems like there's a water boy joke in there somewhere. I can't believe in all these years I've never done that. We'll have to do that someday. But really, my son just recently called and said that they had a boil water advisory. It's like, bro, if you were using the Berkey we got you, you wouldn't even have to worry about that. So understand that when you hear something like a boil water advisory, there was already a problem before they told you to boil the water. And you want to get your stuff from Jeff because he's the original Berkey guy. Next up today, JM Bullion. You know, I am a Bitcoin bull. I do recommend that you invest in Bitcoin, and it's on sale right now. But I've also always recommended that as a wealth assurance program, you have about 5% of your net wealth in silver and or gold. I think that, you know, we have a commodity here that has been a monetary instrument for about as long as man has understood what it was and was able to, you know, mint it into refined things like coins or bars and individual units. That's how long it's been a monetary instrument. So we're talking thousands of years. It's never been worth zero. It's never going to be worth zero. There's a finite amount of it available in our world. Sometimes people do talk about some asteroid somewhere. Well, yeah, when you can make that profitable, go ahead. Right now, we only have what's available on Earth, and we've been able to, we've never been able to push the inflation rate of gold past 2%. And many years, it's around 1%. And the more we have above ground and the harder it is to get it out from below ground, the more that's true. So check out JM Bullion because they're a company that sponsored the show since 2013. They do a discount for MSB members. They ship your order to you for free. They have better pricing than Monex and Atmex and other large silver houses. They support the show that you love. So the real, and you know, so better pricing, same product, free shipping, supports the show you love. Why would you go anywhere else? And then real quick before we go on, I just want to make sure that anybody who wants a shot at this gets a shot at it. Notice I said a shot at it. I didn't say gets in. We are relaunching the Become Dangerous with ChatGPT course, and that is going to happen on December the 21st, I believe. It will be the Monday of Christmas week, and I can look real quick right now and tell you what day that actually is here in a second. But it's going to sell out in 2 to 3 minutes, and the way that I know that is when we did class one, because of the way that we set it up, we didn't really realize how well it was going to be hit. We basically had y'all crash the server. It still sold out in about 4 minutes, maybe 2 to 3. And then when we launched the second one, we had dialed in how to deal with it, and it sold out in under 2 minutes, right around 90 seconds before it sold out. We actually oversold a few seats because by the time Tom hit the stop button, we had oversold it. But it's going to go on sale again. I don't know why I can't. December 22nd at 9 a.m. is when it's going to go on sale. The price is going to be $350 this round. And if you want in, what you want to do is go to the Survival Podcast right now, and you'll see the post for it. Click on the link in the post. It'll take you to a place you can pre-register. If you already pre-registered, you're good. About 15 minutes before the course goes live for sale, we'll send out an email. That email will go to a page with a countdown on it. When it hits zero, the page will refresh, and then it's a race, like the old movie Rat Race. It's a race. I am winning, right? Little pop culture breadcrumb for you there. It's a race. Are you winning? I don't know, but you have to be registered. We're going to sell 100 seats. We have well over 800 people pre-registered for this round alone. So that tells you something about how in demand this course is. All right, let's get into it, right? I want to start off with this video. This was, again, just kind of fortuitous. I I'm always kind of amazed, and it's happened so many times now, I probably shouldn't be, at the serendipity of the universe, the synchronicity of the universe. When I get up and I put together a show like I did today, and while I'm putting it together, literally based on when this email came in, as I was putting it together, this was being emailed to me. And I thought, man, this is a perfect lead off for today's show. So let me play this gal for you, and then we'll come back at it.
So let me get this straight. We're supposed to send our children, our most precious gift, off at just the age of 5 to a government institution where they sit in a desk for 8 hours a day under flickering fluorescent lights, eating processed slop in a cafeteria while being taught fake history, forced to memorize useless facts, and punished for thinking differently. It's almost as if they aren't being taught to think, but are being trained to obey. Raise your hand to speak, stand in line, don't question the rules. That sounds a lot like another place, where inmates are locked in cells all day, told when they can eat, and silenced if they question authority. That other place is prison. And here's the uncomfortable truth. The Rockefellers, the same family that hijacked our medical system 100 years ago, also helped fund and shape our modern-day education system, not to empower our children, but to create obedient workers that serve the system without question. And don't just take my word for it. John D. Rockefeller said it himself. I don't want a nation of free thinkers. I want a nation of workers. So ask yourself. Was the school system created for the benefit of our children or for the power and control of those who created it?
I just want to tell you, she's spot on. And if something occurred to me, you know, you can have all these things in your brain, you know all these things, but every once in a while, something like goes, like, I should actually put it that way before. One thing I just remembered listening to this about high school history class was when they talked about breaking up the giant monopolies and integrating, you know, what we call a progressive income tax, right? A lot of what was said by my history teacher was along the lines of, we realized it was dangerous for people to be that wealthy, that they had too much power and control. And we needed to do something about it. And breaking up monopolies and taxing this income, which wasn't taxed until the early 1900s, was how we did it. That's interesting. I'm not even going to say I completely disagree, even though I think all taxes theft. I see how you could think that way. It sort of kind of makes sense in a way. Except for the fact that today's wealthy are so much wealthier than the Carnegies and the Rockefellers, et cetera, of old, right? Okay. It's important to understand that the Rockefellers were not the only people that took that incredible wealth and did things institutionally in our society that still affect us today either. That people, again, like the Carnegies, et cetera, were involved in that as well. But there was never any mention of that. They didn't say, for instance, the curriculum you're learning today was put in place by the very people that this was supposed to restrict 100 years ago. And we said we did the job 100 years ago, but here you are sitting in front of me, and I'm parroting the shit that was pushed into this system from Prussia coming out of the 1800s into the United States that was put in place by the very people that we just told you we stripped their power. I'll let that go. That was just kind of an extra little thought that I threw in. So let's start off with how and why modern people were taught not to think. I mean, for all the talk about how important education is, teachers are heroes that don't wear capes, you know, real heroes don't wear capes, they teach, or some other stupid shit like that. And you know, the education is priceless and it's worth going into debt for the rest of your life for it, et cetera. You'd come to a belief from that that the most important thing for you to learn how to do is how to think. But when really big critical issues come up, not only do we have people now that don't know how to think, we're told not to think. We're told things like during this giant COVIDian nightmare pandemic that was supposed to kill all of us that didn't, that doing your own research is dangerous. Interesting. Interesting that they would tell you that. Well, we were taught not to think for exactly what she's saying, because if you can think, then you start to question things. You start to pull at threads, and the controlling mechanisms of society begin to break down. I mean, you do realize the reason that the only thing you see on your TV and your social media feeds is the most extreme retardation of both sides of the political spectrum is precisely so you'll hate the person that lives across the street from you that put the wrong sign last election season in their front yard, right? You do realize that. That's the purpose of that. Because that person, unless they are, I mean, they could be one of the total loons that they actually show you, but odds are they're not. And you probably have way more in common with them than any politician you've ever voted for. But you if you start thinking, you'll realize that, but we don't want you to think. If you start thinking, you might look at certain jobs and go, geez, I'm lucky to have this job. I mean, my employer really has empowered me here, and I should really be grateful for it. But you might also look at other jobs and go, wait a minute, do I even need an employer to be able to do this service? See, that's a problem if you're the employer, right? Or you might actually realize, like, hey, wait a minute, this is a small company and I really run the whole thing. Maybe I deserve more money. And if I'm not wrong here, if I left, maybe they'd be effed in the A. You'd think that way. Well, a lot of these big companies also have a lot of small companies that also, and they prefer that you don't think that way. You know, they always tell you, don't tell anybody what else you make. Good advice, but why do they tell you that? Because you might start thinking about what you're paid. You might start realizing not only, because there is the whole, the person wants more just because the other person has more. But there's also the case where you find out, wait a minute, this person's an F-tard. They're the one that's late for work all the time and shit, and they're getting paid more than me. Or at certain leadership positions, when you've been accustomed to working lower levels your entire life, when you get promoted, that big raise seems like a big raise, but are you being paid commensurate with the position? Or do they know that you don't know what that number is, so they lowballed you because you were so happy to get a promotion, you just took it? There's a lot of problems that happen when people start to think. How do you sell people on a war if they say, wait a minute, who benefits from this war? Just that one simple question. Who will most benefit from this war, regardless of its outcome? How many wars wouldn't happen if we asked that question? And who will benefit the least, even with the best possible outcome, other than the side that loses? What instead of the side, what group will benefit the least in the best possible outcome and the worst possible outcome? And what group will benefit the most in both scenarios? Well, there's a whole lot of shit right there that wouldn't go down if people did that. What if we always did that? What if when they said, this group did this thing and it's outrageous, if you said, wait a minute, even if the people they're pointing at did it, why? Who empowered them? Who enabled them? Who funded them? Well, the way you get to that answer is you ask again the question. Who benefited the most from this occurring? Now, that's just one example of one critical thinking question that pulls on a thread of the fabric of control of society in such a way that maybe the whole tapestry ain't gone, but it's starting to look pretty threadbare before we even get started. So why do they teach you not to think? Because it's the number one way they maintain control of you. That's why. It's not actually hard to understand at all. And then we also need to look at something like, what is a dichotomy versus a false dichotomy? Let's go to an extreme example. It's a good way to understand things. If there is someone chasing me who's bigger than me that wants to kill me, and I run, and the only way I know to run, and I get to a point where I'm literally at a cliff's edge, I now have an actual dichotomy in front of me. I'm either going to go off the cliff and hope I survive, and I'm not going to, or I have to fight the person who's going to try to kill me, And I have to fight to win. I have to fight like it's starting to rain and I'm the third monkey trying to get on the fucking ark. That's how I have to fight. That's a dichotomy. And that, I mean, I think most people can get their head around that. That is a true, I only have two choices, right? But most of the things that are presented to you as a dichotomy are not dichotomies. They're what's called a false dichotomy. Well, if you don't vote for the Republican, you're just voting for the Democrat. Really? Because I didn't vote for either one of them, so obviously there's at least third choice. A false dichotomy is something like, if you're old enough to remember the Coke and Pepsi, the Pepsi challenge, Pepsi and Coke, they figured out that if people sat down, and both of them are garbage products anyway, but if you gave people a glass of Coke and a glass of Pepsi, and you let them drink all of it, that actually most people preferred the Coke. And the reason was the Pepsi was actually sweeter, right? So when you were drinking the whole thing, the benefit of that sweet hit actually became a little bit of a detriment toward the end. But somebody that worked for Pepsi figured out when you only give people a little tiny taste, the sweetness has an impact that actually makes the majority of people prefer it. So they invented the Pepsi challenge. They went around and told people which one you like better. And as though that was the only choice, Pepsi or Coke. How about water? How about beer? How about orange juice? How about I'm not thirsty right now? How about a Sprite? So it's a false dichotomy. You created it and you orchestrated an environment where the person, this random person on the street, and this was a real thing they did. It was not actors and made up. That's what actually what made it very effective for marketing was once they agreed to do it, they felt obligated. I have to drink one of these. And even if I think they both suck, I still think this one sucks less, so it's better. That's a false dichotomy. And as simple as that is, and as crazy as it sounds, 90% or more of the things in your life, especially that don't actually happen inside your home or at your workplace, but you observe and you form an opinion on that then impacts how you react to things in all the other aspects of your life are presented to you as false dichotomies. Well, if you don't support Trump, you're supporting people who want to cut the dingus off of young boys who think they're girls. Not necessarily true. Now, they sure made it look that way. And in practicality, from a pure political voting standpoint, yeah. But that is, you see what I'm saying? They're taking everything down. Like Miller Lite, less filling tastes great. Why not both? Right? Sometimes with economy, you can have both. But you are split in your head with tribalism at this point. Well, without dumbing down the education system, that wouldn't be possible. Because if you told somebody, do you want A or B, they'd say, well, what are my other choices? What are my other choices? Imagine you go to a restaurant, and they say, would you like steak or chicken tonight? Unless it's kind of one of those niche restaurants, you're like, wait a minute, how about a fucking menu? That's a natural human reaction, yet in our society today, people just snap to one side of that decision-making. And if you don't really think that you have more in common with your friends, your relatives, and your neighbors than elected officials, if they happen to be on the other side of a political spectrum or a decision spectrum of some kind. Let me ask you this. Then how do you all get along so well when you follow the simple rule of not discussing politics and religion? As soon as you don't bring now, if they were actually the evil piece of shit that we make them out to be online, well, we wouldn't get along with them just because we didn't talk about one subject now, would we? It's interesting. It's interesting. Here's the thing. There's just a few questions that we need to ask to tear this all apart, to rip it all down. I don't even have to teach you what the answers are. All I have to do is teach you what the questions are and give you some examples. So one, the first question you should ask when you're being presented with these big giant issues is this really important to me? And if so, why? If you use that filter alone, like half the shit they throw at you, you'd be like, no, wait a minute, I don't really care. I mean, maybe even on some level I care a little bit, but do I really care? And an example might be something like they're trying to drum up a war with a foreign country, country XYZ, right? And they'll tell you, oh, 10 people today were killed in country XYZ by the bad guys that we need to go. Oh my God, 10 people died. 10 people died on the way to work on the freeway today that you drove through too. Do you really care? I mean, if somebody tells you about it, you'll care for what, 5 minutes, and you'll go on with your life. Every once in a while, something so tragic that it sticks with you. Like a few years ago about this time, a little girl was run over by a FedEx driver, and he didn't kill her initially anyway, and then he ended up strangling her because he was afraid he was going to get caught and he thought he could get away. That stuck with people around here. We cared about that because it was so tragic. But in the end, we hear about people dying every day. So when they tell you we have to go deal with country XYZ because they're killing, you know, whatever subgroup in their country that they think you'll identify with the most, what about country ABC that does the same shit? But because they're playing ball with us, they don't tell you that. And when somebody points it out, you go, well, what can I do? See, but then when they give you the trap and the solution, which is go along with their idea, they start leading you right down it. So if we just start out, even with very serious issues, with do I really care? Does my opinion really matter here? And is there anything I can do about it? If you don't have any of those things, then right away, you can just filter that out. And there's a lot of people resistant to that message. They're like, well, you just don't care about anything. I care about many things, but I can only care about so many things at one point in time. It is a human limitation. It's real. Nothing you do will change that. And I can only act on so many things at a time. So the things that are the foremost in my attention are the things that will have the greatest impact in my life. The same is true for you, by the way, but sometimes you're letting other people tell you what those things are. Even when they are things like, if you don't get this project done by the end of the week, Frank, you're going to get fucking fired. Or if you don't get this accomplished by the end of the month, that promotion we were talking to you about, that's not going to fucking happen. All of a sudden, because it directly affects you, I guarantee you it's more important than what you see on Fox News. But until somebody frames it that way for you, it's not. What if you always focus that way without anybody having to threaten you over it and pull you out of this false world that they've created for you? How much better off would your life be? See, survival, modern survivalism, lifestyle design is a big part of it. Next question is, how did this even come to my attention? How do I even know about this? If you learned about it from Facebook, Twitter, X, you know, what have you, and you would have never found out otherwise, or the TV set, then maybe it's not as important as you think it is. Especially if you didn't go looking for it, like you weren't already asking the question and looking for an answer. That's a different scenario. When you were minding your own business and you didn't give two shits about this issue yesterday, and had you not been having it shoved in your face somehow, you wouldn't care about it tomorrow. And by the way, by the end of the week, you're probably not going to care about it anyway. Maybe you just drop it right now. Maybe you just don't waste any mental, physical, spiritual, emotional energy on it, especially if it's something you cannot affect. Because the next question is, can I actually take any meaningful action as to this issue? And if so, what? Because here's how that process works. Is there anything I can actually do about this? Yes. What is that thing? Here it is. Is it something you're willing to do? Yes, do that. When you've done it, go on with your life. Because here's how that process is going to work a lot of times. I'm big on creating these mental framework formulas, right? Is there anything meaningful I can do about this? No. On with my life. Done. Is there anything meaningful I can do about this? Well, there is a local charity that's helping these people, and I know that my money's safe there. I can write a check. Check written. Done. Out. Tagged out. I'm done. I did what I could. I'm back in my life, right? So those are two examples right there that take very little of your time, but what most people do is bitch, yell, scream, and holler and argue with people about the issue and then actually don't do anything meaningful at all anyway. And that same person would say, you don't really care because all you do is write a check. Well, you don't really care because you didn't even fucking do that, is my response to that. But most of the time, you're going to find that the things that they tell you are the most important in your life, that you're literally an evil piece of crap if you don't care about this, or you're one of them if you don't care about this, there's nothing you can do anyway. Do I think the people that are protesting in Portland and Seattle and all of and Chicago are retarded? I do. Do they actually affect my life? They do not. If I change my opinion about them, will that make their position stronger? No. If I maintain my position, but I'm more vocal about it, will that actually weaken their position? No. Is anything that I'm going to do going to have anything to do with what happens there? No. Then what point is there to me putting my mental energy in it when I could be planning tomorrow's podcast, working on writing a book, teaching something to my grandchildren, learning something that I'm reading a book about, planning a trip with my friends to the beach like we're going to take this Friday? Aren't all of those things more impactful and effective and wonderful in my life than the choice the TV is giving me, which is A or B? You're for or against this thing that you don't have any control over anyway. And what does being heavily for something that's going to fail or heavily against something that's going to succeed do for you when you have no real impact or real control over it? It makes you feel what? Angry, sad, and helpless. Now, if you wanted people to be in a state of mind where they were most susceptible to your control, wouldn't putting them in a state where they're mad, right, depressed, and hopeless be a magic trifecta? I mean, if they're just mad, they might kill you or kick your ass. But if you can make them feel completely defeated, right, or when they take the side that is, you've already predetermined this, what's going to happen, so you already know who's going to win. When they take the side that wins, what does that teach them? Oh, that my opinion actually is impactful. And I can laugh at the people that lost now, even if they lost someone through death. It's okay. Why do you think we have people making fun of Charlie Kirk being murdered? Because we are talking, and that just having an opinion is enough to make an impact, and therefore your opinion's important to a thing that your opinion has no impact on. See, it doesn't matter which side you pick. That's why the thing that makes people the maddest is when you won't take a side. It's when you won't take a side. Let's look at another one. What is the source of my knowledge on this issue? In other words, whatever you think you know about it already, where'd you get it? And then you have to ask about the source or sources you have. Like, what is the source's agenda? What is the agenda of MSNBC? To be a marketing department of the Democratic National Committee. Let's just be honest. That's their whole purpose, right? And for everybody that pays them money, who's not political, but uses politics to get their shit done, like the big pharmaceutical companies. You ever notice that it's diametrically opposite? Because I'm going to get to Fox News in a minute. Fox News and MSNBC are completely diametrically opposed on the political spectrum. Because what I just said about MSNBC, marketing arm for the DNC, is true about Fox News. They're a marketing arm for the GOP. But Pfizer loves advertising on both of them. Isn't that funny? They have the same sponsors. They have the exact same sponsors. Funny that, isn't it? And those sponsors also are the lobbyists that fund both sides of the political false dichotomy of Democrat and Republican. Isn't that interesting? These people buy control of the programming, by control of the politicians, and they don't care which side either one of them's on. They just want it done, right? So what is the source's agenda? Because the source's agenda might be like mine. My agenda is to make you think critically, even if you disagree with me. You might tell me you disagree with me, and I might say I think you're wrong. Wouldn't it be retarded if I didn't? Wouldn't that mean that I never believed what I said in the first place? It doesn't mean that I resent you having your opinion. I ask one thing of people in this audience only. When it comes to what they choose to believe, know why you believe what you believe. That's what we're getting at to the heart of right here. As long as you did that, I'm fine with it. I can just tell a lot of times people think they know and they don't know. Climate change is a perfect example. I've got emails weekly still after 17 fucking years. I've done all my research. Really? Tell me what the four feedbacks are in the climate change model put out by the IPCC and do not use Google. No fucking idea. Can't do it. Can't do it. Well, I don't need to know that. You told me you did your research. You don't even know the question I asked if it actually makes my case for me or not. By the way, it doesn't. All it does is reveal that your position of I've done research, since it would be like telling me I've studied math and I say, what's 2 + 2? And you say it doesn't matter. I know all the wonderful things math can do. You're like, math, without math, we couldn't have cars. We couldn't have airplanes. Yeah, but what's 2 + 2? I've done my research. Now what's 2 + 2? It doesn't matter. You see how stupid that sounds? If you're going to tell me you don't know the 4 feedbacks in the IPCC climate change model, then you cannot possibly have done the most rudimentary resource into the issue. All you know is what you've, and that, by the way, those of you like, I agree with Jack, it's fake. And I never said it was fake. I said climate change caused by CO2 to the level that they claim is fake. That's what I said. Okay. If you don't know those 4 feedback loops either, you also have not done your research. See, you can be right in which side of an issue you pick, but you can still be uninformed about it. You just, if it really is a 50-50 issue, or if one side's at least more right, the majority of correctness is on one side, you got a 50-50 shot of picking the right one, whether you're informed or not. That's the beauty of propaganda. Because I can get people arguing about things with each other, and I can make sure that the, you know, I'm not even saying left and right anymore because it's too polarized, right? That side A is right about issue 1, and side B is right about issue 2. So that both sides will look at the issue that they know the other side's wrong about to convince themselves, I don't need to do any more research. These people are stupid. This is basic science. This is basic psychology and behavioral science. You don't think your government would use that against you? Boy, you really are a product of the system if you answered that with no. Then not only what the source's agenda is, the next thing you want to know is what is the source's track record of accuracy? If we judged most of the experts and media outlets on their accuracy in the past, we wouldn't listen to anything they said, right? We had the most advanced medical, we were sure. These guys are super, super duper geniuses, right? They're quantum level geniuses. This Tony Fauci guy, super genius. Almost every single thing they said about COVID was not only wrong, the same person that told you you were an idiot for not listening to it eventually admitted that they were wrong. Jim Cramer, right? Cramer. There's literally a reverse Cramer ETF that does really well. All it does is invest the opposite of his advice. Yet he's the one with the TV show. He's the one that told you, don't worry about Bear Stearns. They're fine. Nothing is going to happen. And 4 days later, it went bankrupt. 4 days. Gone. So what is the track record of success of Fox News? What is the track record of success of MSNBC and CNN? And here's where you really start to see it. When you get like, I would actually put those three entities this way. Fox News, 100% in the tank for the Republican side of the debate on every issue, not just the ones that are overtly political. Then I would say MSNBC completely in the tank for the left. And I would put CNN more center to mid left. Okay, so they're not center, but maybe if you took the really the center would be, which would be actually looking for truth, because this is not politics, this would be media, actually seeking truth, and you get MSNBC way out on one side. About the center of that is where CNN would go. But what have they all told you about a war that Putin is responsible for? Don't all three of them have the exact same narrative? Didn't all of them tell you that Russia was losing? Didn't all of them tell you, like 3 weeks in, Russia's literally running out of bullets? They're stripping down washing machines to repair tanks. Here it is 3.5 years later. Ukraine has no success to show whatsoever, except a false level of success is, well, he hasn't taken over the whole country. Well, it was never his goal. When they all tell you the same thing, and they all have a historic track record of being wrong, you better really run away, hadn't you? Now, if that upsets you, you're focused on the issue instead of the result. That's another thing that they do. They get you to where you feel like, but I'm emotionally vested in this now. I've made this claim, so I have to be outraged because this guy told me I'm wrong. But all I'm doing is pointing to the results, not matching the projections and saying, maybe you shouldn't listen to those people anymore. Now, if you have a source who's like, when you look at, like, if you look at it as a major league batting average, they bat like 800, which would be 80% for those that understand how batting averages work. So, yeah, when you hear somebody bats, you know, 320, that means they're right. They get a hit 32% of the time. So you get somebody who's batting 800. You probably want to listen to them if it's true, if it's real, if you can vet it, if you've paid attention long enough, if you can verify it. It's not because they say they're accurate. It's because you've seen them be accurate for a long time. Then maybe you need to look at it. But still, it has to go through the other filters. Do I care? Does it matter? Can I impact it? Right? And then what do other sources say? Here's a basic rule in journalism. No matter how much you trust a source, one source does not verify a thing. And if you want to report it and you believe your source and you can't find a second source and you think it's because I really have the only leak right now, it needs to be reported as such. This is from a trusted source who's been proven true in the past. We are not able to verify it yet. That's true. Have you heard that anytime recently? They say shit like, according to unnamed sources, which means absolutely fucking nothing. There's no journalistic standard for that whatsoever. It doesn't matter if they completely made it up. No one has ever been prosecuted or sued for saying, according to unanimous sources, right? Nobody, and nobody ever will be. If they're ever sued, it's for slander or libel or something like that, where the party that is affected, but when it's something like politics or a war, or supposedly generals are saying, right, or some shit like that, or analysts are saying, and there's never proof that it ever actually happened, nobody's ever held accountable for that. Never will, because it's part of the system by design. I mean, look at it like, if I throw a ball as a pitcher and I hit a batter, unless it's so blatant that the benches clear out and the other team holds me accountable, all I have to do is give up a base, and I knew that before I threw the ball. It's built into the system. There's no real penalty for it. Next, once you've done that, now we have to ask another question. Is this something I want or need in my life or my business, et cetera? I mean, if we're getting to this point, then we know that we care, right? We know that it matters to us, or we'd already dropped it in the first step. But now we're getting to the point of not only is there anything I can do about it, right? But is there anything I can leverage from it? Like, I hate that this is happening, but does it change how I invest? Or if I learn more about this, can I use it in my business to advance my business? If it passes that, then it's probably still worth working on and looking at. But if it doesn't, that's another demerit, and maybe it's time to dump it. And then, if this has never been an issue for me before, why does it matter now? Is it because it was never happening before? Because then it might matter. But if this has been something that's been going on, you find out about it today, but it's been going on for like 100 years, right? And now you know about it. Now you're really upset about it. So can you do anything about it? Does it enhance your life? Does it benefit you in any way? Since you didn't care about it, can you really make the case that it actually affects your life? If it was a thing last week and it did affect your life, and it was a thing last month, here's the reality. It might be worth caring about. It might be a cause for you to get involved with. It could be, but it probably isn't. And the only reason all of a sudden it matters to you is you've chosen for it to matter for you. Because clearly it didn't. Now, it also could be that it became real to you because it impacted you for real. Again, that's back to how'd you find out about it? If there's zoning laws in your community that directly affect you and you didn't know they were there, and when you went and tried, see, that's something you can take action on. That's something that does affect your life. But if it's not one of those things, if it's something going on in a country 5,000 miles away, the reality is you probably have no control over it and it doesn't really affect your life at all. Yeah, I know they're going to launch, North Korea is going to launch nuclear missiles at us any minute now. Because the TV said they have a rocket that can make it happen. Okay. If you believe that, if you really believe that's a threat, what you should do right now is you should leave this live stream or turn off this podcast and you should never come back here again because you're not ready yet. And when you change your tune on that, then come listen again. And I'm not making a joke. I'm being serious, because if you believe that, if you believe a country the size of Kentucky with a far lower average IQ is going to take on the United States of America in any way successfully, as in bringing the fight to us, you're delusional. You're delusional. If you want to fuck the United States up, you don't do it with freaking a nuclear missile. That just gets your ass waxed three times as hard back. And in their case, probably 300 times as hard back. You want to fuck up the United States, take over the media, take over academia, and do it from within. Or externally, you use more conventional terroristic tactics. You know how much damage you could do with 20 teams running around the United States with nothing but a gas card and a gas can and a pack of matches, just starting shit on fire everywhere? But yeah, they're going to launch a missile at Los Angeles or whatever because they told you so, and you saw an episode of 24 where it was going to happen. That's how they control you guys. On problems, needs, and wants, we can do a different analysis of all these issues. Number one is, when it's an issue they're telling you is really, really, really important, that we need to do something. My first question is, what happens if we don't do anything? What happens if we don't do shit? And a lot of times, even if it's not necessarily a great thing, the outcome is better than touching it. The outcome is better than touching it. Like, well, there's asbestos in the roof. Yeah, but the building's all sealed up. And it's been there for 100 years. And people have lived in this house for 100 years. And no one that lived in this house ever got friggin' mesothelioma. Maybe we should leave it alone. At least until we're ready to tear the house down, then it's good to know that it's up there. But if it's all sealed in, it's not harming anybody because of the form that it's in and the way that it's installed, opening it up can only fuck shit up. Here's another analogy. I used to keep a lot of tropical fish, and people say, how often do you do a water change? And I'm like, unless I see something really wrong with the water quality, never. Well, what do you mean never? Well, if it's fucking perfect, then if it ain't broke, don't fix it, as my granddaddy would have said. Then the only thing I could do by doing the water change is fuck it up. So maybe I should leave it alone. How many things do they convince you that we need to do something about it that we would be better off had we never done it? Here's a political one and a recent one, and one that affects everybody's fucking lives in America today. What if we had never done the Affordable Care Act? They told us we needed to do it, but everybody has worse insurance now. Everybody that actually pays for their insurance in any meaningful way pays more for their insurance now. You have less choice in providers. You have less choice in, you know, having which doctor you want. And medical care as a whole is more expensive. So maybe there was a problem, but maybe not touching it would have been a better option. I'm not even saying it would have been. You analyze that for yourself, and then you know why what you believe what you believe. So what happens if we do nothing? And then the next question would be, do we already have something to deal with this? Is there already a way for this problem to be addressed? I'll use drugs for this one, especially marijuana, because I can tell you right now, if you understand what bad acting looks like, whenever the marijuana subject comes up, especially on Fox News, you can see that none of the people talking, except that old fucking doctor asshole who's a retard, believes what they're saying. They have these pretty girls on who, by the way, have you noticed they all look the fucking same? Right? They all have the same fucking haircut. They all look exactly the fucking same. They all dress the fucking same. I mean, they're not wearing the same clothes on the same day, but they're all dressed the fucking same. They all cross their fucking legs the same way. Their hair's all styled the same fucking way, right? They're like fucking clones, and they're all saying shit like, well, it's different than what we smoked in high school. You're like, bitch, you were in high school 10 years ago. All right? You're not me. You're not old. You're not fucking gray. You're like fucking 28 years old. What you smoked in high school is exactly what they're smoking today. And we're talking about smoking shit anyway. And we're not talking about the medical marijuana industry where all the stuff you're talking about is coming from. We're talking about a fucking gummy that they sell at a fucking gas station. or a CBD salve, and you're parroting the thing, and you could see in their faces, it's a little bit painful for them. Because the lie is so outside of reality, and you're looking at another one going, bitch, you ain't never smoked a damn thing in your life. And you're looking at another one going, bitch, you're probably high every fucking day after work. But they're all parroting the same shit. They're all parroting the same damn thing, right? But what they always get to with this question is, but then you're more likely to have people that are like committing crimes. Oh, they're committing crimes. Yeah, okay. Well, then why don't we prosecute them for that? And why don't we prosecute them for that? Or, well, they take it because it's supposed to help them sleep, but then it turns out that it actually keeps them awake. Do you know what happens when a person takes something to help them sleep and it doesn't work? Yeah, they stop using it for that. They stop using it for that. There's people that fucking drink a cup of coffee at fucking 9 o'clock at night and they're fucking in bed at 10 and they sleep fine. You do it, or I do it, and we're like, I can't sleep right now. I got to do something. It all depends. People make decisions like this every day. Or it's not good for your health. Okay, misses 5 martinis a night. What kills more people, cannabis or fucking vodka? You see what I'm saying? Like, all of these things already have solutions in place. Market-directed solutions, or if they are actual things that harm other people, those things are almost always illegal. So do we have a way to solve this problem without touching it directly? Are we just not doing our job in other places? They don't want you asking that question. Because we're not, almost everything they say we need a new law for, we have like 10 laws that already address the actual problem, right? We're back to my old thing, you don't want a drill bit, you want a hole, right? You want a hole in the wall to put something through the hole in the wall. You want a hole to put a screw into. You want a hole. A drill is one way to get a hole. You get a hole with a nail. If it's a good screw the right way, all you need is a good freaking screwdriver and you don't go straight into the wall without it'll make its own hole. There's a lot of ways you can do it. So how do we solve the actual problem? And is there already a way to do that? And is directly interfering with other people's lives the way to get it done? Or is it simply saying when you harm someone else, we'll do something about it? And again, you can make your own determinations here. I just encourage you to know why you're making them. The next thing is it even really a problem? How is your life made worse by X? I only want to give you an example because then you'll try to justify that it is, right? Just think of something you don't like other people doing. And then say, self, does this actually affect me? And you might go back to how do we address the problem? Let's do marijuana. Well, I smell it everywhere, but do you? If you live in Seattle, you kind of do. But 90% of the country, no, you don't. No, you don't. What's your solution? The solution then might be something like, well, maybe we shouldn't have people walking around outside smoking in public. Maybe we should. I'm not even taking a position. I'm just saying, like, banning it when you live in a place where you don't experience it anyway because the beanhead on TV said you did doesn't make sense. Is there a problem? Is there really a problem? Will our lives improve if we do the thing that we're being told we need to do? And in most instances, not all, in most instances, the answer is no. In most instances, everything, especially the state has touched, they've made it worse. What if we never started doing student loans? Well, that's just crazy talk. Hold on. Go back to pre-World War II, and people with good grades generally went to college for free. Did you know that? You didn't, did you? It was almost 100% funded by endowments and scholarships and alumni contributions. But if you were stupid, you didn't get to go. That's how it worked. Now, if you were stupid, but just smart enough to get in, and you could come up with somebody dumb enough to give you the money, or you found it yourself, you could go. But you know what college was at the time? Relatively cheap. So when the government decided to create federally backed student loans, they made the cost of tuition go up exponentially and the value of a degree go down exponentially as well. A degree is worth dog shit compared to what it was in, let's say, 1960. If you had a degree in 1960 when you were looking for a job, people cared. Even if you didn't have any real big experience yet, it mattered. Today, you know, 9 out of every 10 people walk through that door have a degree. Your degree doesn't mean anything. It might be a way to filter you out, but it doesn't buy you anything on the way in. So they devalued the thing that they raised the cost of because they fixed the problem. What if we had done nothing? I don't know exactly what would have happened, but it is a reasonable submission that things would not be as bad as they are when you look at exactly when everything went exponential in cost and the value began to decline as well. It's exactly at the point that they first did these federally backed student loans, and that wasn't even that bad. When they changed the underlying monetary policy that system was built on top of in 1971, that's when everything went to complete shit. Oh, by the way, what if we had not changed the money in 1971? What if we didn't change the money in 1964? What if we didn't change fucking money in 1933? What if we didn't change fucking money in 1913? What if we left the fucking money alone and didn't do anything about this problem that was not a problem? Before we did that, we didn't even have a fucking income tax like we talked about earlier, and most people did okay, and we still had fucking roads and bridges and buildings. We have much better stuff now. So does everybody else. So does there. And by the way, we paid for a lot of other people's shit. Those are technological and engineering advances. We didn't make anything better because we made money worse, did we? Go look at a building built in 1880 and go look at a building built in 1980 and tell me we made things better by changing the money. And that'll end that shit right there. So yeah, is it really a problem? Oh, is it a need or a want? And how bad do I want it? Notice it's not about the society as a whole. Is this something I need or want? How bad do I want it? Because what I find is people that want a thing but don't want to do the work for it, what they're really saying is somebody should give it to me. But when they really want it and they really understand why they want it, they generally go out and figure out how to do it anyway. So if we remove the ability to get what you want by demanding someone else take it from somebody and give it to you, and then calling that democracy when what it really is fucking communistic fascism, by the way, because the most effective way to get things done is what states eventually land on. You're like, wait a minute, did Jack Spirko just say that? I did. But you think that I mean as to the stated goals that they have, which is making sure everybody gets an education and an affordable house and wonderful food. No, that's not the fucking goal of the state. The goal of the state is to control the population. And they're very good at it. And when you combine aspects of communism and fascism, which are far more siblings than people that hate each other, they're not even cousins. They're like brother and sister. And there's elements of both that help refine the other to the point where you get total control and enough of a facade to keep the peasants happy. And that's what you've been given. So is this something that I need or something that I want? If it's something you need and you don't have it, you can only not have a need for so long before you're dead. So that means that most of the things we think we need are things that we want. And why do you want it? All this shit about student loan forgiveness. You know who doesn't give a fuck about student loan forgiveness? People that don't have student loan debt. Don't give a fuck about it. Don't care. Well, I don't have it and I care about it. Yeah, but it turns out that person's 3 kids do. So you kind of have it by proxy then. Or they say they care, but that's just because they want to be heard. But they don't really care. Really? You care a great deal about it? Yeah. How many charities that help students pay off their debt, or how many scholarships to prevent students from have you contributed to in some way? None. Then shut the fuck up. You don't care. See, when people care about things, they fucking do something about it. They do something about it. There's a gentleman we're collecting, and if you guys want to help, by the way, email me, because I'm not sure exactly how to put this out right now if you're not in the alumni group. On Telegram for TSP workshops. But there's a guy that's been to several of our workshops, died very young. I don't know any more than that. I do not know what happened to him. His name was Brian. But I care. I care. So when John Dowdy reached out to me and said, hey, we're raising money for this guy, will you talk about it? I said, yes, I will. And I'm doing it right now. And he said, here's the ways you can donate money. And I said, okay. And I went and donated money. Now, the way it's being done, it's like an individual taking on that responsibility. I don't know how to fix their income taxes or anything like that. Trusted person. But because of that, I don't want to just, it's not like a GoFundMe or something. I just put it straight out. So email me if you want to help this person. His name is Brian. And he was to quite a few of our workshops and he died young and they're collecting some money to send to his widow and say, hey, this community, he's part of it. We care about him. See, I care. So when John sent me that, I immediately went and threw some money in the kitty because I cared. If I just said I cared, but I didn't do anything, then I didn't really care. Well, not everybody can just throw money at everything, Jack. No, but we throw a little bit at what we care about, at least some. The same person that would say that just went out and bought a $5 fucking pumpkin spice latte Starbucks. You could have skipped that for one fucking day and contributed. Like, you could do that once a month and contribute to the thing you say is so important to you. But what you really mean is you're emotionally attached to it and you want somebody else to make you feel better about it. That's how most of the bullshit in society is sold to you right now. You care, but you don't really care because you haven't done anything. I guarantee you, like, that same person, if they care about baseball, right, and they have a favorite team, a home team they go watch, and they have a tradition of getting up early on the day opening day tickets go on sale and buying those opening day tickets, they don't fucking miss that. And even though those tickets are expensive and it's inconvenient to get out of bed and all that other shit, they're going to do it because they actually care. And then they'll tell you they care about these poor people in some other country. You go, really? Well, there's this great charity that feeds those people. If you ever know, shut up. You don't care. It's how simple that is. That's how you know if you care about something. If you actually care about something, you do something about it. That's just a good way to look at things. And then the next is, how much of my bias is at play here? In other words, before this issue came in front of you, did you already have an opinion about this general thing? Maybe this is a specific issue inside a larger concept. I have to be careful of this. I do know why I believe what I believe. I'm very convicted in my opinions about things, and I'm very clear on facts. And when somebody corrects a fact that I got wrong, it's because it wasn't actually a fact. I believed it to be a fact, and it's not. I admit it. Here's an example. About a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I was talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene quitting Congress, and I said some things I'll stand behind, like, bitch quit and left the people who voted for her without representation for over a year because of her own bullshit in her own life. I'll stand by that. I also said that she got really rich coming into Congress worth about $2 million and leaving worth $25 million. And it turns out I was wrong. Her net worth's gone up about $4 million while she was in Congress for 5 years. And it may not be directly attributable to Congress. Fine, still a bitch, still quit, still shouldn't have. But I'll admit that I was wrong. And I said, because I got screwed up here, when I heard that she could not be replaced by an appointment from Governor Kemp, that she waited to a point in time where they would have to wait till the next election. That was wrong. See, Jack was wrong. Wah, wah, wah. I was wrong. I was like, and then somebody told me I was wrong. I was like, no, wait a minute. I know governors have replaced these people in the past. Fucking Governor Blagojevich in Chicago went to prison for effectively selling a seat. It turned out that was Senator Barack Obama's seat, and that governors in most states do replace senators until the next election, but representatives can only be replaced in an election. So I was wrong. That is being a grown-up fucking adult. That is saying I stated something as a fact and I was wrong and not making an excuse for it. Just saying this is why I got it wrong. Her seat goes to the Dems. Her seat doesn't go anywhere, dude. See, this is dumb. Why is he saying that? Well, with who it is, it's pretty common for him to say things like that. Her seat goes. No, it doesn't go anywhere. It goes wherever the people of Georgia decide next year. And that would have not changed if she stayed there because she wasn't going to run for re-election anyway. So the same person on the Republican side will run. It goes wherever the fuck the people decide. It doesn't go to the Dems. Not that it would fucking matter in reality anyway. Anyway, you do have to be careful of your bias. And since I was pissed, I let my bias get in front of me. That was my mistake. So when I heard people saying these things and they jived with what I was already thinking, and I was in a hurry to do a show and I didn't do the rigorous fact checking I usually do, or even just second guess myself, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. So I'm just pointing that out. We all have to be careful. And so when you are already predisposed to a bias in an issue and you hear something like, yes, you better check yourself. And when you're like, no, you also better check yourself. And when you're looking at the bias from the standpoint of A and B dichotomy, you better check yourself by saying, is there another option here? Is there another option here? Ukraine-Russia war. Perfect example of the monkeys being most mad at you when you don't take a side in the shit-throwing contest. Well, you want Putin to win. No, I'm just analyzing like military capabilities and manpower on the ground and going, since we ain't going to go to fucking nuclear war over freaking East Ukraine, right, then they're going to lose. That means you're a tool of Putin. That's critical analysis. You want to back Putin? No, what I want to do is nothing. Now, that thing earlier, what happens if we don't do anything? If we had done nothing, this whole fucking war may have never started. If we hadn't unseated somebody in fucking 2014 because we didn't like the results of an election and we didn't orchestrate through our CIA a fucking color revolution, if we didn't then go make a fucking agreement with Russia in the Minsk Accords and then fucking renege on that degree when we always knew we were going to renege on that agreement, we already knew. We've admitted that now. Then this probably wouldn't have escalated into a conflict in the first place. So what if we do nothing? But since we didn't do nothing then, I want to do nothing now. That's all I want to do right now. Nothing. Putin's weak. He's losing this war. Great. Then they don't need us. The EU's good. Okay, let the EU do it. Without our fucking weaponry, by the way. We're selling weaponry we're supposed to have for our own defense to the EU. Without replenishing it as quick as it's going out the door. Leaving us in a less defensible position for the actual fucking homeland we're supposed to care about. So I want to do nothing. So it's not choose Putin or choose Zelensky. It's two people are fighting over land that we never gave a fuck about until you were told you had to care about it. So why are we getting involved? I just say we shouldn't. If you believe either side is right, you have every right to that. But do you know why you believe what you believe? That's all I'm asking you. Okay. Moving on to knowledge and belief. We're thinking about things that we know or we believe to be true. Number one, do I know the truth or do I believe I know the truth? And here's an interesting experiment you can do if you have the mental discipline to do it. It's actually really effective. Even if it's open your mouth or write, you can do it all inside your head, right? You can do it all inside your head, which is, I believe that I know that A is true. Now, in your head, put yourself on a stand in a courtroom. And in your head, also, like, split your personality and become a prosecuting attorney and ask yourself leading questions. Well, how do you know that? And answer. But if that's true, then this wouldn't be true as well. Well, yeah. So then you're saying, right, do it just like that. If you can't stand up to yourself in a cross-examination, how sure are you about what you think you're sure about? Or another way to look at this, when I was in school and we had debates, the way the debate worked is they would tell you, this is your issue. Seatbelts save lives in cars. Or, no, they don't. This was actually a debate that happened. I'm glad I wasn't in this one because if you got they don't, it was a tough row to hoe. But they would give you, this is your issue. Great. I believe, not shut up, doesn't matter what you believe. Okay. You're going to have to be able to make a case for whichever side we assign you in the debate. Okay, I can do that. What side of the debate am I going to have? Oh, you find that out 5 minutes before the debate. What? That is the single most valuable thing that I got out of high school, other than the accounting education. I had actually pretty damn good school for accounting education that I went to school for. Had a lot of impact on my business. But when it comes to actual ability to think, having to do debates, thank you, Ms. Schuler, okay? I'm sure she's long gone now because she was older than me back then. Having debates where you didn't know which side of the case you would be on until the moment that it was going to happen and not wanting to look like a fucking dumbass in front of a group of people like you had no idea what you're talking about, Because all they had to do is see that happen to somebody else once. You're like, oh, that was brutal. That shit ain't happening to me. I don't care if I don't turn in an assignment and you give me a zero on it and it lowers my grade point average. Fuck that. I don't care. Right? As long as the final grade average, you went and taught me how that works, is an A. I don't give a shit. You can't scare me with that. Pointing out to the class that I didn't do my work and I'm still going to get a better grade than them, that doesn't help you either. But looking like a fucking dumbass in front of a group of people? Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about? No, I don't want that. So what did it do? It forced you to, like, and this is Dewey Decimal and encyclopedia days, right? This is not internet. And you had to know a commanding understanding of the facts of both sides of the issue so that you could come in and go, man, I don't believe this, but I'm going to act like an attorney who is defending a client who I know is guilty, but I am following the directive of my position and giving the best defense possible under the law. When you can do that, you actually understand an issue. So when somebody tells me, well, I understand the issue, and I say, okay, then present the other side of the issue to me. And they start out with like, well, what you're going to say is no. I want you not to say what you think I'm going to say. I want you to build a case for the opposition to your position. I want you to make the case as though you believe it. And you can't do that. I put no stock in anything you're saying, even if I agree with you, because you don't know anything. Knowing the talking points is not what I'm talking about. Knowing the facts that lead to the talking points or the data that leads to the talking points, even when misconstrued and mixed, so that you can still effectively convey that, then you have, and you can do it on both sides, then you have a root understanding of what's really going on. Then the next question would be, what if anything would change my mind on this thing? Is there anything Jesus descends from the sky and goes, I'm sorry, my child, Jack Spirko was right? Would that change the calculus for you? Or Jesus descends and comes down and goes, I'm sorry, my child, Jack Spirko was wrong. Would that change the calculus for you on any given issue? That's an extreme. But if even that wouldn't do it, you'd say, oh, it has to be a trick. It has to be Q from Star Trek or whatever. Then why? I'm back to why at that point. See, there's very few issues that if you could actually bring me concrete information to show me I am wrong, that I wouldn't change my opinion on them. That doesn't mean because you give me a bunch of your talking points that I'll change my mind. It doesn't matter that you gave me a bunch of emotion and spirit and I really felt that you were passionate. No. It would be something like, oh, I don't know. If you told me we never went to the moon, and instead of like some arbitrary shit, you show me a non-AI video of Buzz Aldrin saying, yeah, man, we never went to the moon. It was bullshit. I'm at least open to it at that point. I'm at least open to it. I think we went. You think we didn't. I'm okay with that disagreement. But nothing you've given me is actually proof of anything. They can't even find the transponder information because they put it on magnetic fucking tapes and they left it in a fucking warehouse like the fucking incompetent government does, and it wore out. Right? The fact that they lost the incompetent government we have lost something. The government that is so fucking able and so powerful and has so much skill and is so perfect that they're able to deceive the entire world into believing a thing, right? But they lost a thing. Okay. Right. Sure. Like, it's either they're incompetent or they're hyper-competent. Like, it's one or the other. And then my opinion is that they actually cede the dissenter side to create another wedge. There's people angry at me right now. I'm going to get at least one email today. I promise you. And I'll be able to hear just the, you are so stupid and I can't believe that you don't understand it. Whatever. And I'm back to the, do I really give a fuck? Not really. Because my question with that one be, to what end? What did they gain by claiming this? That'll show the Russians. There's something you can look up if you want to. Mitchell and Webb, moon landing. Look that up if you want to laugh. And then your last question in all this, is this something I was trained to believe or a decision I made? That's a tough question, so I save it for last. It's a tough question. Because would you even know? See, the best training, the person doesn't know they're being trained. They doesn't know they're being trained. How many people don't know that when you went to school and they started having you go from classroom to classroom in between teachers and they have a bell that rings, that the genesis of that was actually training people while they were children to respect like the bell or the whistle at work for break times and start times and all of that. That you're being trained to do what you were told at work by being forced to do what you're told in school. That was the actual goal. Kind of hit on that during that little video with that gal in the beginning. Did you know that at the time you were being trained? Do you know it now? And if you know it now, do you know it because you figured it out yourself or because somebody pointed out and you're like, oh yeah, well, wait a minute. So if that can happen, how many other things can happen? A lot of the food you eat, do you know that you probably wouldn't even like it if you weren't trained to eat it? How many things do you believe or do or act upon because you were put into a position where it became so repetitive that it became second nature and eventually habitual? And after something becomes habitual for long enough, it becomes ingrained in you that that must be the way things are. How many things that you simply observed happen a certain way, you became convinced could only happen that way? There was no other alternative. Do you believe what you believe because you've discovered it, or do you believe what you believe because you were trained to believe it? I'm not even going to give you any examples. I'll let you think about that for yourself because I think it's more powerful if you go through your own issues. See, one of the reasons I don't like it, it's a weird thing. I know that the most powerful way to teach and get you to think is to give you examples. I know that. To tell you stories or to put issues in front of you that you actually care about and then say, let's pull on that. On one hand, that's true. On the other hand, it's the best way I can act to be polarizing. When I give you I can give you a thing you actually agree with me on and give you five reasons that the thing is true, but you disagree with one of the reasons, and that will become the thing that you focus on more than the macro. Again, if I know this, don't you think the most advanced psyops people in the world know this? Don't you think this is being used against you all the time? Don't you think there's actually people that sit around and think to themselves, hey, what can we add to a school curriculum to get greater compliance in the population with these things? Like, oh, I don't know. If you're my age, food pyramid. Do you think they did that because they're like, you know what we really need to do? Make sure kids eat healthier. Did they show you the food pyramid in school and you went home and go, Mom, I need 11 servings of freaking grains and shit. Buy more fruits and vegetables. Take the meat away and I don't want to have dessert now. Only once a week. No, you didn't do that. Especially if you're like our age, right? If you're my age or older, you didn't do that. Have you ever noticed though? That the thing they start working on your generation on and that they're working on like the current generation, it works better on them than it did on you. That's because it did work on you. And it softened your position by the time you were a parent to the point where you gave less pushback to the bullshit they were teaching your kids, which softened their position. And that's why your grandchildren accept that thing so readily. And you can't figure it out. You were trained to believe it too. The training just becomes more effective in each subsequent generation. If we're training dogs and we let the pups stay with the mother until, let's say, they're 12 weeks old, as the mother becomes more compliant, the pups become more compliant, which become the new mothers to become more compliant, and the pups be. Oh, Jack, you're saying they treat us like domesticated animals. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm glad you got there. I'm glad you got there. That's what we are to them. We're domesticated animals. You know when they say that they need your kids to go to school for proper socialization? And you're like, well, wait a minute. I thought you tell the kids all the time they're not there to socialize. Oh, did you think socialization and socializing were the same thing? Did you believe that because the word sounded similar? Is that what you thought it meant? Socialized? in the world of education, my dear friends. That means being able to conduct yourself properly in society. That's what they mean by socialized. Because if you said the real word that you actually fucking meant, domesticated, people might go, I don't know about that. Right? I don't know about it. Didn't they used to call housewives to make them feel good domestic goddesses? That hit a little too close to home? That's their goal. And I'm glad for Mick here. And I have to say, my grandkids pretty much are too. 90% of the things. He says, my grandkids are based AF. And there is a rebound effect, right, that can eventually happen. Like, if you go too far, and kids are naturally resistant to be with strong Adam. So this is the one thing that saved our ass as civilizations. I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about thousands and thousands of years and generations of history. Kids push back. So the engineers of state control use the pushback. That's why they always go after the youth and push, but kids push back. So if you move society far enough in the direction you want it to go, eventually your Zoomers, right, your Gen Alphas this time around, that's part of the fourth turning, they push back on the overall movement in the direction. So that first generation resists it, but then by the time they're grown, they resist it less, and that continues and continues and continues until it gets so out of the realm of reality that eight-year-olds go, no, we're not doing that. And because the person trying to control them came through those multiple cycles of conditioning, they're like, I don't understand. Oh, I know what it is. It's defiant disorder. Right? It's defiance disorder. The fuck is defiance order? There's another word, something defiance order, right? They call it. That just means those kids don't believe your bullshit. That's what it means. That doesn't mean there's not kids that are just troublemakers. But in general, when they take something and they codify it as a disorder, and it's not the one-off, it's not one kid out of 100, it's become a thing that needs to be combated, and we've conditioned people to believe what? If you name it, call it an illness, it needs a medication. ADD much? We had kids that didn't pay attention in the freaking 70s and 80s. And either they ended up figuring out what they wanted to pay attention to and went and did it, or it was up to the teacher to get them to pay attention. I had a history teacher named Mr. Scavage. So the funny thing is, he got everybody to pay attention to history. He got reviewed by the freaking school board because he gave out too many A's until they looked at his test and went, holy shit, we can't pass it. Why? Because the dude was a freaking entertainer. And when he was talking about different characters in history, he did impersonations. This dude was like Rich Little. His pointer was a freaking arrow, like a bow and arrow. He walked around the room and popping on people's desk, right? And go, hey, are you paying attention? If not, what was boring about what I was telling you? And the first time it would happen to somebody, they'd be like, oh shit, I'm in trouble. He'd go, no. You're just drifting off because something's going on in your life, or, you know, why don't you think this is interesting? And tell you, and you realize, like, this motherfucker's actually asking my opinion in high school. Holy shit, he actually cares. And once a couple kids saw it, they realized, oh, well, like, he does. Well, I don't get it because. Oh, well, let me explain it to you. Let me explain to you what actually happened. Let me explain to you why it really matters still to this day. He was a great fucking teacher. I guarantee you he would get fired today. He would get fired. Absolutely. You know what his test was? Beginning of every section, you got 40 terms, A terms and B terms. And when you got a test, you got 20 terms on one side of the page, 20 terms on the other side of the page, and a piece of paper, lined piece of paper that you filled out yourself, and you took number one from list one and you connected it to the other one. And then on the other piece of paper, you wrote down number one and you wrote how the two terms were related. How's that for a fucking test? Any of you ever even seen a test? Because I've never seen anybody else do it. It was a brilliant teaching methodology. You know why? because my lines connecting the two sides might be different than yours, and we might both get an A if we can both explain it. There might be something really obvious, like the Rosenbergs and the hydrogen bomb. But if there was, you know, Nagasaki and the hydrogen bomb, and Rosenbergs and something about espionage, those both would work, right? You had to work it out. And if you got down to a few terms, maybe you had to go back and look and go, well, and then move them around and correct it. And you had to explain it in two sentences. And he said, if you could not explain it in two sentences, you didn't understand the correlation. This is fucking 10th grade. 10th grade, and the dumbass burnouts got A's in this dude's class. Why? Because he taught them how to think and instead of telling them what to think. You know, I look back at some of the shitty things in my childhood, and there were some shitty things in my, especially those years in Pennsylvania. There were some good years, the hunting, the extended family, all that. There's some really shitty things. But one thing I got blessed by, I had a few really great teachers. So when you tell me I'm opposed to teachers because of the way I talk about the education system, that's where you've been trained to believe something. Anything that says anything against it, well, they're all in people that want everybody to be stupid. They want everybody to be stupid and want to think the whole way the universe started, God went click with a switch. That's it. They don't want nobody. No, I am so pissed at the education system because I had a few teachers that showed me what real education could look like if teachers were permitted to teach. That's why. That's why. Or people think I'm against college because of how I'm against the scam that modern college has become. I'm all for elevating people to another level of independent thought, thinking, and challenging their beliefs, which is what we're told college is supposed to be. Here's an example. I remember Michael Saylor in a series he did with Robert Breedlove when he kind of came out as a big Bitcoin supporter, when he first started buying shitloads of it personally and with his company. And he was talking about how it's like the third episode of that series. It's like a 13 series. It's totally like you learned so much in it beyond Bitcoin. I mean, 90% of it's not even about Bitcoin. He talked about how when he went to, because he's an MIT engineer, for people that don't think this guy's smart. That is a high level. that is a high bar, right? So he goes to MIT and he's in his first engineering class at MIT. And the instructor walks out with an actual tile from a space shuttle and puts it down and says, pass it around. They're looking at it. And they said, these tiles, among other things, failed. This is why the Challenger exploded. What went wrong? And all these kids start coming up with, like, these are not dumb people. These are MIT engineering students. They start coming up with all these answers that are reasonable answers to the question. They've also all been already thought of. They're all fucking wrong. And the actual answers had not yet been figured out. The instructor doesn't know the fucking answer. Nobody at fucking MIT knows the answer yet. That's how close to the disaster this is. And it takes the kids throwing all these ideas and looking around and realizing two things, is what Michael said. Number one, I'm always the smartest person in the room, and I am no longer the smartest person in the room. These people are all at my level, and those instructors are above my level. And nobody knows what the fucking answer is yet. Nobody's figured it out. Now, you want to make college like that, I'm all in. But when you have people spending 4 years of advanced high school and spending $125,000 for the pleasure of it, no. No. Yeah, college has become basically high school with more sex and more booze and more drugs and more independence. That's about it. For half the people that go. The other half, knock yourself out. Real quick, I'm going to hit the one comment that I saw here at the end, and then I'm going to wrap up. Second Light Farm says, I think sometimes confusion and apathy are the goals. They change things around so much, especially with nutrition, so that you give up trying to understand the truth. Do as you're told. I think that's spot on. By the way, Second Light Farms sent me a write-up called From Homeless to Homestead, which is fantastic. Dude, I'm going to get to it probably Wednesday this week is when I'm going to do that. I really appreciate you writing that up. I need some time to form that. I expected to get a very brief write-up and even a very extensive write-up, and it warrants an entire show. So if it's not this week, it'll be next week that I'll finally get to that. But I think it's going to be very enlightening to a lot of people because this dude came a long way from where he was to an incredibly successful dream life today. And it's the story of how he did it. I was going to have him on to talk about it. He wasn't comfortable with that. But thank you so much for sending me that and taking the time to reach out. I got one more question and we'll wrap up. 229 Mick, on the AI course, do you have to have a business presently that you can actively use for work in the class? It would be very, very, very helpful. If you have a business concept you want to develop into a business, that will work too. But I'm going to say that you need to have a concrete concept. Not, it could be any one of these five things. That is going to, you're not going to be in the right mental state if you're in that. You're not. It's better to have a business, but if you don't have a business to have, I want to build a business making blue widgets. And I want to market them to people like X, Y, and Z. At least that much. Like you can make two sentences. I want my business to be this, and I want it to try to build it this way. You don't even have to be right. You just have an angle you're going, and you may end up coming out with a badass freaking business model, right? But if you're taking it just to learn AI, I personally wouldn't, because I built the whole course based on my method of business consulting. It is not just marketing either. It is things like developing standard operating procedures and documentation for your business. If you follow the program and you already have a business, not only should your business get better, but your business is much better situated at that point to scale through adding people to it or to sell, because now the business comes with basically an operator's manual, a customer database that's growing, right? Like, because it includes things like building follow-up email systems and things like that as well, and automating processes. So that's how that works. The chemo cop says, needed this today, getting ready to close on 30 acres in Central Texas and looking forward to bouncing ideas off everyone. That's awesome. That's living the dream. It's living the dream, man. Invite me down sometime after you get moved in and I'll check your place out with you. That'd be awesome. All right. With that, let me go ahead and wrap up. I want to remind you again today about my book, Laws of Life, Ditch the System, Design Your Life. If you like the kind of content you got from me today, you're going to love this book. I just had the libertarian book designer who did the fixes for the typesetting in my book reach out to me today and ask me how my new book's going. And I told him I just finished chapter 12 this morning. And there's 16 chapters in the book. I hope to have it in the hands of an editor by the end of year. And I don't think that's going to be a problem with the way things are churning out right now. But the current book, Laws of Life, Ditch the System, Design Your Life, I believe it will change lives and impact people for the better if they'll take time to read it. It's not a hard read. And I'm going to tell you, some of the best emails I've gotten thanking me for the book are from teenagers and 20-somethings who were given it by their parents. And I had one girl write me a really beautiful long email and basically said, I thought my dad was retarded. She didn't use that word, but that's what she meant. But hearing somebody else say the same things and then putting stories with it that I could easily understand changed the way that I think. I'm going to tell you, I've made some money off the book. I'm not going to lie. It's done fairly well for me. But that was the best part. Like, that makes it worth writing a second book. Getting that one email makes it worth writing a second book. Next up today, I got an item for the day for you. Remember, you can always support what I do just by when you're doing your online shopping, which right now a lot of that's going on. It is Cyber Monday. Lots of deals on Amazon. Just go to TSPAZ, T-S-P-A-Z, TSPAZ.com first. But I've got an item of the day for you that is pretty daggone awesome. And I had pretty much sworn off of this type of coffee maker myself because I'd switched over like French presses and AeroPresses and stuff like that. And two things happened. One, I had Nicole Sauce, Nick Ferguson, J.R. Haley, and my wife and me here for like 4 days before the workshop. And, you know, that's too early to break out the giant urns that we make coffee for everybody with. And making coffee for five, six people using an AeroPress sucks. It's too much time. Well, the other thing is I've got a new morning routine going on where I'm getting up really early and I'm just not ready to fully talk about it yet because I'm coming up with my own version of it. And when I'm ready to talk about it, I will. It'll probably be around the first of the year. But when I get up, I want my time free. So I wanted something I could start with. Well, I was talking to John Dowie about this. And he said, oh, I got this great new coffee maker. It makes the best coffee I ever drank. And I'm like, oh, screw you, John, because you drink Folgers and Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and you microwave your coffee 3 or 4 times in the same cup of it over and over again. It cools down, you throw it in the microwave and do it. Like, that's gross. He goes, no, I quit that shit. No, I buy good coffee, like from the cold now, and I found it, and he starts explaining the coffee maker. It's got these different settings on it. It uses a cone filter, and it's the best coffee ever. But he doesn't tell me what it's called, because we're just bullshitting. And so I'm thinking about this, and I get on Amazon, I start looking, because I know he bought it, because he buys everything, like he's me. Everything he buys on Amazon. So I'm looking for it, and I find this coffee maker. It's like $300 freaking. And it sounds pretty awesome, and it seems like what he's talking about. So I text him a link. I said, is this what you're talking about? Because I know you're kind of tight with money. You don't just spend it, you know, willy-nilly. He goes, no, fuck that. And he sends me a link to this thing, this Ninja 12-cup programmable coffee maker. And it was like $90. And I'm like, well, I'll give it a shot. You know, that's pretty good endorsement from John. He's pretty negative on shit if he doesn't like it. And so I ordered it, and I thought it was damn good. And I'm like, you know what, though? I mean, you just got it. I mean, I bought this thing, like, right after the workshop. So it's about a month I've had it now. And I'm like, you know, I want to use it for a few weeks and make sure I really do like it. It doesn't have any problems before I recommend it. So I was like, this Monday, I'm going to go ahead and put this out as an item of the day. So I look it up. There's one left in stock. And I'm like, of course, screw your plans, Jack. You know, let's say, you know, fate laughs when you explain your plans. Well, then I decided, hey, wait a minute. Ninja's a major brand. Check Amazon Renewed. They're on Renewed. $65. $65 on Amazon Renewed. So the links that I have for you today on the post at thesurvivalpodcast.com, go to the Renewed item. I know what you're thinking. Renewed? I don't want a rebuilt coffee maker. Do you think Amazon has technicians with soldering irons rewiring coffee makers that are 5 years old? Come on. And then sell that thing for $60. You can't make any money. All they are is returns. Now, occasionally, they're supposed to be like new, that says condition excellent, that type of thing. Occasionally, in that, somebody will get one with a missing part or something damaged or whatever. It happens. Just return it. You get a 30-day return window instead of a 90-day return window, but you still get a return window. So that's no big deal, and you save a lot of money. So I'm big on shopping Amazon Renewed anyway. I have a whole article linked today, too, as well, that you can read on that, but definitely check this thing out, made by Ninja. I don't know what makes it so good. I know there's a lot of people that think the cone filters are better than the flat bottom, and I don't know. I haven't noticed much of a difference. This thing makes amazing coffee, and for $65 with a guaranteed, you know, returnability, I don't think you can go wrong, and it would make a really great gift. It's also programmable, and that doesn't, don't get scared by that. It just means you can set, if you just set an alarm clock, you can do this. Basically, you set it all up to go, and you set the time, and you know, then when you get up and walk out, your coffee's already either made or being made for you. So you just do it the night before, and it's like a timer that turns it on. And it's really super easy to do. Again, if you could set an alarm on your phone, you can pull this off. With that, I am going to wrap up. I appreciate you guys being with me. Real quick, today's the last day of the MSB sale, too. $35 a year for life, as long as you don't cancel your account. And the discount word is turkey. That's a discount code. I was going to let it end on Sunday, but when I put the article out, I said Monday. And so I made sure of that, and I did. I set it to Monday because, hey, you know, maybe you spaced out over the holiday or something. But if you want to join MSB and get all the great discounts and benefits, you can do that today and tomorrow. Tonight at 12:01, right, it will not work. And I don't care if your dog ate your discount code or whatever. We had the sale live for 2 weeks and an extra weekend. So there it is. If you want to get MSB at $35, you can do that there. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. It was kind of old school. I hope it made you think. I hope it made you question some things. But above all, what I hope it does for you is make you start having that internal dialogue with yourself. When you're told to believe something or you immediately feel strong reaction to something, I would simply say, and I didn't put this in the show, but this is in some work I'm doing in the book right now. When you're faced with a situation, any situation, you should be able to look out at the things you're actually trying to accomplish in your life and say, does this thing help me get what I want in my life? And will this particular reaction get me results that move me in the right direction? If either of those answers is no, do something else. With that, I'll catch you tomorrow with John and Nicole for our first Tuesday coffee chat.
They said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.